As a believer, God wants your life to count for eternity. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to make a difference with our lives for the cause of Christ.
The judgment seat of Christ is for Christians. One day our lives will be evaluated and the books will be open and we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And a wise Christian who is thinking biblically thinks eternally and is living not just for this day, but for that day when we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ.
How can we translate our concern for our country and the world into meaningful action? The answer is found in our series, Making a Difference. Through today's study, we will learn how to influence those around us and how to live a life that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The most effective way to make an impact on the world is to make an impact on individual people. If you want to learn how to share your faith with others and how to make a difference for eternity, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Making a Difference with Our Attitude.
Today we see a life day in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a day in which Christ is teaching and helping people to grow in their understanding of life and eternal life. And we see in particular, the Lord is going to confront someone regarding his attitude in this life towards stewardship. We see a man in this passage who really needed an attitude adjustment. You'll notice the Bible says in this particular passage, verse 13, one of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And the Lord was not pleased with what he perceived to be the man's attitude. And so he begins to speak to him about how to adjust his attitude toward things. Now, when you read through the Gospels, it's very interesting to learn that 12 of the 38 parables of Jesus Christ spoke about money. In 12 of the 38 parables, he was trying to help people have an attitude adjustment about things, possessions, and money. The Wall Street Journal a few years ago had a good definition of money. I've listed in your notes. They said, "An article which may be used as a universal payment to everywhere except heaven and a universal provision for everything except happiness." I think they got it on the mark, don't you? You can't buy your way to heaven and you can't buy happiness with money. And so Jesus here is confronting a man whose attitudes were not right towards the things of this world. Now today I think all of us should approach these next few minutes with this question. What is the right attitude? Lord, help me to have an attitude adjustment so that I can walk out these doors in a few moments thinking the way you would have me to think concerning these issues. Well, notice if we're going to have the right attitude, there are three specific areas that Jesus Christ speaks to in this parable. First of all, if you're taking notes, we must learn to avoid unfulfilling priorities. Many people spend their life seeking after unfulfilling priorities. And the first priority that this man was seeking after was the priority of possessions. Maybe you picked that up a minute ago in verse 13. Notice he says, "Lord, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me." Verse 14, Jesus said, "Who made me a divider over you?" Verse 15, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." You see, this man had a great priority on possessions, and he was desiring the Lord to help him obtain even more. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have," notice this, "erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Many a time I've seen a man trade his day of worship for a day of overtime. Many a time I've seen good people just begin to seek after the things of this world to the exclusion of their faith, slowly edging God out as they were seeking after the things of this world. And the Bible says they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They thought they would obtain happiness with those possessions, but they were wrong. In fact, notice what the Bible says there in Psalm 49, verse 11. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. You see, their thought is too much, according to the Word of God, for the things that they might possess. Now listen to me very carefully. There is nothing wrong with possessing things or investing and stewarding in such a way that through your wise stewarding, you can be more generous with your life. It's not wrong to possess things. It's not wrong to invest wisely. When our heart is always a heart that recognizes God first in our lives. Covetousness takes place when our thoughts are more towards the possessions than they are towards the giver of those possessions. And this man's error was simply in the fact he was focused on the possessions more than on the Lord. Notice the second thing he seemed to want besides possessions. This man had this unfulfilling priority of prosperity. He was greatly desiring prosperity. Look at verse 16, if you would, in our text. The Bible says, as Jesus speaks, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now here we see another man whose goal was to possess more things and to become prosperous. Now I don't understand all about this, but it seems like the more prosperous people become, the tendency is to forget the Lord. And I don't understand why that is. I remember as a young man living in South Korea, and they were still really rebuilding after the Korean War. And it seemed like you could rent a large auditorium, have a singing group, have a good preacher or two, and people would come by the thousands. It seemed like during that time when they did not have much in the way of prosperity, there was a hungering to know about God. But then now that they have come to the place where there is much prosperity in South Korea, it is more difficult to speak to people about Jesus Christ because with the abundance of things, it seems the spiritual interest is limited. Around the world today, where there is a lack of prosperity, there is a spiritual hungering. Watch out that in your own life, that as God prospers you, you still maintain that spiritual hunger. You still maintain that desire and that heart for God. That's what Moses was speaking about in Deuteronomy 6:12. Look at that in your notes. It says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God says, I want to warn you, when you get into the promised land and I start blessing you and giving you all these things, God says, hey, don't forget me then. I've seen it over the years. Folks who come into church and they'll get their marriage back together and they're struggling finances. They get the Lord in the right perspective. They begin to give. Things go well. They're honoring the Lord. And God blesses them. He blesses their career. And things are going well. And all of the sudden in the ability or in the desire they have to take care of those things, they begin to set the Lord aside. And they think, you know, I've got these different investments I've got to check on, and now I've got this high stress job and I'm sort of stressed out and I need some time away. And all of a sudden, one thing leads to another. And the desire, the unfulfilling desire for these possessions and prosperity takes them away from their walk with the Lord. You know, 12 times in this parable, you'll find a personal pronoun. You'll find that this man had the disease of me and he was totally wrapped up in himself and not in the will of God. Henry Fielding once said, make money your God and it will plague you like the devil. I think he had a lot of wisdom when he said that. Well, we see this man seeking after three things. Number one, possessions. Number two, prosperity. Number three, he had pleasure in mind. He was living for pleasure. Notice verse 19. It says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, that really applies to our hedonistic society today. It seems like folks are thinking about how they can have pleasure. It seems like the world lifts that up. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's a good thing to take a day off. You may have a hobby that you enjoy, and all of those things in moderation are good. And in fact, they are gifts from the Lord. God has given us a beautiful planet. He wants us to enjoy these things. He has given us all these things to enjoy. But once again, when we are thinking of those things and of pleasure more than of God, all of a sudden it's a form of idolatry. And this man is literally thinking to himself. He's saying to himself, the Bible says, "Soul, thou hast many things. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." I can see him driving down the Antelope Valley Freeway thinking, you know, I work hard. I deserve this and I deserve that. And all of a sudden hedonism settles in. And if we're not careful, we're thinking about pleasure more than God. You know, the Bible even says that in 2 Timothy 3:14. This know that in the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, how many of you, if you're honest, you say, you know, Pastor, sometimes when I do daydream, I think about being on a river or being out somewhere doing this or doing that. It's kind of a natural way. I don't always just think about the Lord. Sometimes I more naturally think about pleasure than of God. And I have to fight that battle of my flesh to keep my focus on the Lord. How many of you understand what the Bible's talking about? And that's the day in which we live, thinking of pleasures. Reminds me of a young man that was on college spring break. This young man had the opportunity to go visit his girlfriend and meet her family, and he was excited about it. And so he traveled to her town, and on the way into town, he pulled into the drugstore, and he went in there. He was going to get a little something for his girlfriend, and the pharmacist came to help him. He said to the pharmacist, he said, "Sir, I'd like to buy some chocolate. You have any chocolate in here?" And the pharmacist said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "I need 3 boxes of chocolate." And the fellow said, "3 boxes of chocolate?" He said, "Yep." He said, "I'm going to see my girlfriend tonight. We're going to sit on the porch after dinner." He said, "In fact, if she'll hold my hand, I'm going to give her a box of chocolate." He said, "In fact, if she'll let me hug her, I'm going to give her 2 boxes of chocolate. And if she'll let me give her a little peck on the cheek, I'm going to give her 3 boxes of chocolate." Well, the pharmacist kind of rolled his eyes, sold him the chocolate. Boy went over to the house for dinner. He sat down there with the family. He said, "May I pray?" Folks said, "Sure, go ahead. You can pray." And that boy began to pray. He said, "Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace to us." He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And when he got done, his girlfriend said, "Tommy, I didn't know you were so religious." He looked at her and said, "I didn't know your dad was the pharmacist." Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, when we make pleasure our number one goal, we're headed for trouble every time. Every single time. Here was a man who was looking for pleasure. He was looking for prosperity. He was looking for possessions. And God says, "Whoa, you need to have an attitude adjustment about this. You need to avoid unfulfilling priorities. What does it matter if you gain all this and lose your own soul?" Jesus said. Notice secondly, God wants us to assess stewardship biblically. God says, don't look at this the way the average Joe looks at this. Look at this through the Word of God. I want you to make your assessments biblically. Now notice what the Bible says, if you would, in verse 20 of our passage. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now folks, we're here to get a biblical perspective on life. So if we are going to think about things biblically, there are 2 things we must understand. First of all, that will involve us thinking eternally, because the Bible is an eternal book, okay? The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And if we're going to think biblically, God wants us to think eternally. The Bible says here in verse 20, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." If we're going to think eternally, we must first of all think about this. We must think regarding the brevity of life. If we're thinking eternally, we're thinking regarding the brevity of life. You see, the fact of the matter is that Jesus is simply calling to this man's memory the fact that he would not live forever. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." You know, it is only a fool that lives for this life only. It's only a fool that thinks of this life only. James tells us about this life, James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. How many of you have noticed life gets by us? What is your life? It's but a vapor. God says, folks, think eternally. Remember the brevity of life. You see, Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I heard about a man one day that met God. He said, God, what is a million years to you? God said, it's like a second. He said, well, what is $10 million to you? God said, it's like a dime. The man continued. He said, well, then can I borrow a dime? God said, just a second. Folks, we need to think of time a little bit differently. Time is but a vapor. You see, you rarely see a luggage rack on a hearse. We're not going to take these things ahead with us. And so concerning this matter of the brevity of time. Secondly, regarding the certainty of evaluation. If you're thinking biblically, then you're thinking about the brevity of time. And you're thinking about the certainty of evaluation. By that I mean all of us as Christians one day will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And our works on this earth will be evaluated by Him. Notice what it says, Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Luke 16:2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Some people call this the Bema Seat Judgment or the Judgment Seat of Christ. It is to be differentiated from the Great White Throne Judgment where men who are unsaved will stand before God and hear those terrible words, depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you. You see, the Judgment Seat of Christ is for Christians and we will stand there and we will be rewarded for our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be evaluated for our service rendered unto Him. But I want you to know, my friend, one day our lives will be evaluated and the books will be open and we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And a wise Christian who is thinking biblically thinks eternally and is living not just for this day, but for that day when we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must think eternally. And when we think eternally, secondly, then we will invest eternally. When we are thinking heavenly, we will invest heavenly. Now notice this verse 21. This is not Baptist happy talk, all right? This is God's word. By the way, how many of you have red letter edition Bibles? Let me see. All right, these are the words of Jesus, right? Look at verse 21. It says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not what? Rich toward God. I mean, we can be rich toward God. We can invest toward God. Yes, we can. The Bible says in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. The great missionary Jim Elliot, who gave his life as a martyr in South America, said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And so we are challenged to let money serve an eternal purpose. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. That word mammon is Syriac for money. And you see, friend, when Jesus Christ is your Lord, then money will be your servant. And you will look at money as a tool to use for the glory of God. God wants us to invest eternally. God wants us to invest from the heart. Notice this in verse 34, what it says here, Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there will your what? There will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, folks, as I've observed in pastoring, consistent giving leads to consistent living. Inconsistent giving produces inconsistent living. And when we are faithful in giving, there is not a perfect trouble-free life. I'm not preaching that. But it anchors our heart to the things of God. And it helps us to avoid many of the pitfalls and snares that could come by living with an unfulfilling priority in life. God wants us, Colossians 3:1, to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, to set our affection on the things which are above, not on the things of this earth. Well, here we see a man that needed an attitude adjustment, and God says, look, you're worried about what you can have and about settling the affairs of this estate. But Jesus says, I want to challenge you. Avoid unfulfilling priorities. Secondly, assess your stewardship biblically. And notice with me finally this morning, God wants us to activate faith immediately. He wants us to activate faith immediately. Notice this in verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Notice down in verse 28. And if then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? How many of you are sensing the attitude adjustment here? You see, it is with a proper attitude that we can make a difference. This man was going to make no difference for eternity so long as he was a man of little faith. People of little faith do not touch eternity. People of great faith can make a difference for eternity. And God says to this man, you need to activate faith. You need to recognize this matter of taking thought for your life is not going to activate faith for eternity. Now, how do we activate faith? Two ways in this passage. First of all, we must learn to trust the Lord. We must learn to trust the Lord. Now notice in this Bible passage, in verse number 22 once again. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add one stature to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, God says, I want you to trust me. The ravens aren't worrying about how they're going to eat. The lilies don't worry about how they're going to look. God says, if I take care of these little creatures, how much more do you mean to me? Folks, settle it in your mind today. God loves you, and God will take care of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, for trusting the Lord, two things happen. First of all, we're going to refuse to worry. We're going to refuse to worry. Be careful for nothing. That means worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look, when you are filled up with faith, you will refuse to worry. And secondly, you will rely upon God. Notice that in verse 27. The Bible says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. And the Bible is very clear, they spin not, and yet look at the glory of the lilies. Folks, whether it's tithing on a weekly basis, 10% of our income, God says, don't worry, but rely upon me. Notice 1 Timothy, the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. God says, I want to bless you, but I want you always to be ready to distribute. I want you who are my stewards to be in the distribution business. I want you to invest wisely. I want you to steward wisely. But then I want you to be ready to distribute, the Bible says. Oh, listen, we need to trust the Lord. I remember years ago in our old building, we had been meeting in a small room upstairs in that building. We had 12 or 15 and then 20 and then 30. There was a group downstairs that was renting our main auditorium. Now, back then, it required all the offerings of our church and the rent from the other group together to sometimes make the building payment. I mean, it was a stretch. It was difficult. Well, I remember as we grew up into the 40s, one day I talked to the pastor of the other church. He was a man two or three times my age. I said, sir, I need to talk to you. I took one of the men from our church with us. I said, I don't see any written agreement or anything, but I just need to let you know that we're going to be needing this building where you're meeting. And I said, I need you to get ready to vacate. I remember he looked at me and he said, well, how many did you have in church today? And I kind of got my buttons popped out and I said something like, oh, 42 or 43. And I was kind of proud of that. He looked at me and he kind of laughed. He said to me, "Son, I thought you needed our money." You know, when he said that, something started in my toes down here. And it came up and found its way out my mouth. And I said to him, I said, "Sir, God owns the cattle on a thousand hill, the wealth in every mine, and God is going to provide for our young church."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.